20, we often read that, but I'm going to do something a little different with you this morning. Now, I want you to grab your hymnal first. Turn to the back of that hymnal. There's a responsive reading of the law in there, entitled the Ten Commandments. And so instead of reading Exodus 21 through 6, the first three or four commandments that we talk about in God, I want to go through the complete list this morning as a reminder of who we are as we stand before God, as we come into worship this morning. So if you would read the bold print responsively with me this morning. And God spoke all these words, saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them who hate me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now I'd like you to turn in your Bible this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And this morning we continue on our series, Gods at War, the idols that tried to compete for our heart. And this morning's message is the God of Achievement. We are a society that likes to get things done and to accomplish stuff, and sometimes that can become an idol. So we're going to learn about that this morning. And you are going to hear a story about Martha and Mary, two sisters who live in the same home. They are the sisters of Lazarus. The Mary that we're talking about is not the mother of Jesus, but a sister to Martha. And so we're going to go into their home this morning, and we're going to see a little bit about what's going on in their home as they welcome Jesus in, and as they prepare to share a meal of what's happening. So beginning in verse 38, Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has let me do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. There's a lot going on in those couple of verses, and we'll learn about what's happening there this morning. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And here's what the word of the Lord says. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read your Ten Commandments this morning, we are reminded that we are sinners in the flesh. Lord, we have good intention, but yet we fall short. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the spoken word which we read from your word this morning in Luke and 2 Corinthians. Lord, may it speak to us in a new way this morning. May you fill us with your Holy Spirit, and Lord, may you just open the hearts of those that have gathered here today to hear your message. Lord, may you bless our time here together. May you fill me with that same spirit as I preach this word. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you know who this guy is? Well, quite a few hands. Can you tell me what his favorite slogan is? Get her done, right? You guys know what I'm talking about there. Larry the Cable Guy. And his favorite saying is, get her done. There's something in us that we also have that says, get her done, as we live life here in our country. In the Western world, we are motivated and driven to achievement and accomplishment. We are devout Christians that believe that God honors our hard work, our dedication, our loyalty. Think about your life as a child, as you grew up. Let me remind you of some things that maybe you were a part of or maybe you knew something of. So I'll give you kind of a broad spectrum here this morning as you think about this. When you were a child, what kind of achievements were you driven to? What kind of things did your parents involve you in that you were driven to achieve to a higher place? With that in mind, here are a few to think about this morning. How many of you ever attended the cadet program or the Boy Scouts, and you'd work hard at different projects to earn a badge? Or maybe you were in gyms or Daughters of the King, and you worked hard to succeed at something that you were involved in. Maybe you were in FFA, and you worked hard to get that medal or that plaque that you were part of some kind of a team. Maybe you were part of a sports team and you worked hard to get your athletic letter or your academic letter in your life. Maybe it was a trophy because you had won a tournament of some kind. Maybe it was a medal or a report card. And you worked to get so many A's put on that report card in your life. Maybe it was a high school or college diploma. Or maybe it was a promotion at work that you strive for in your life. They all represent what we accomplish through hard work and dedication. And I'll tell you that there's nothing wrong with hard work or dedication unless what? It sits on the throne of your heart. Then we have an issue. And that's what my lesson is about this morning. What does that look like as you examine your own life? Who are you? What drives you? What are the things you are trying to achieve in your life? And what motivates you to do those things? If you think about it, we often operate on checklists of things to do, schedules, places to be. You look at your calendar, maybe you keep it on your phone or whatever. You got to be at certain places at certain times and so on in your life. And yet you go through life, you might just check them off. Check, got that done. Check, got that done. And sometimes, maybe even go to church can be a check mark. Oh, got that done. In your life. God says, that's not how it works in our society. That's not how it works in his world. That is not what he expects from us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so personal achievements can become very powerful idols in your life. And there's all kinds of them. And so we're going to kind of unpack this morning through the scripture that we read earlier. And so let me just tell you that Martha, she is a get-her-done type of person. You've seen her. She's busy in the kitchen. She goes over to her sister Mary. She's a little jealous because Mary's sitting there doing nothing. And Martha, she's busying herself with things to do as she prepares for this meal that they're about to partake in. At this point, Jesus has about 6 months left on this earth before he goes to the cross. Now, none of them know that, but Jesus does. He knows what's coming. The sacrifice is starting to unfold, and things are starting to happen in his world as he teaches and he goes about through the countryside, followers teaching the way that he wants people to live and so on. You know, in just a few years that he did his ministry on this earth, he turned the entire world upside down. If you think about that, we might say that Jesus was a get-her-done type of person, but he did it in a different way. Listen to the way that he did do some things. Jesus didn't have a checklist. Or Jesus was not preoccupied with objectives that needed to be done. That list that you have rolling around in your mind. How many of you have things on your mind right now that you know that you have to get done either today or this coming week? Yeah, we do that, don't we? Well, Jesus didn't operate that way. He lived in the moment. He taught in the moment. Now, he did look ahead because he knew what was coming for him, but he was always present with what was happening around him all the time. How many of us do that? A lot of us worry about tomorrow, don't we? Or what's going to happen in the future about a certain situation or a thing. Jesus was not preoccupied with the objectives that he had to get done. He went about his business. He did what he had to do, but he took it as it come to him. He took it as God would use him in different situations to teach his ways. He was not a slave to his schedule. And in fact, one time, he even called the children to come to him. For he said, let the little children come to him, because the disciples thought he was way too busy. You know, Jesus doesn't have time for these young people, these young children. I mean, this guy's got stuff to do. And Jesus says, no, let them come to me. For there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He lived in the moment. He's a busy guy. But he held it in the proper perspective of life. And so now we get the story. Jesus shows up at the house of Martha. And inside is Martha's sister Mary. Jesus had a special relationship with his family. He knew Lazarus quite well, and he knew Martha and Mary quite well, and he was on the road, and so he spent some time here. And so they opened their home to him to take him in and to share a meal and more than likely spend the evening here. And so here we are, these two sisters. One hurrying around frantically, wanting it to be the perfect night with all the preparations for the meal and so on. The other quietly sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. Can you picture it? How many of you have seen that in your own home? Or somebody's busy rattling around the kitchen and somebody else is just relaxing, taking it easy. And so here's the message that I want you to think about this morning. There's a lot going on in the story, like I said, but for the sake of our discussion this morning, I want you to focus on two things. Martha is distracted, and Mary made a choice. Think about those things for a moment, and we'll unpack these here in just a minute. Martha is distracted. Mary made a choice in her life. In this story, the God of achievement distracts us from following Jesus with all the things that we think we need to get done in our lives. That list that's rolling around in your mind right now and so on. You know what I'm talking about. We all live with good intentions of spending time with Jesus, of being in His Word, of praying to Him and so on in our life. But at the end of the day, our time has run out, we're tired, and we never check Jesus off the list, do we? We never take time to do that. How many of you in here set goals? You have certain things that you know you want to get done today in your life, or that you might think have to get done in your life. How many of you do that type of thing in your daily life? Anybody in here do that? Yeah, I do that. I have my sheet of paper right next to my computer in the office of everything that I've got to get done for next week already. Who I have to talk to, who I have to meet with, and where I need to be when, and so on. And I live by a checklist. And that's kind of a fault of mine. I'm learning some things this past week as I wrote this sermon where I fall short. This is probably the biggest challenge for me, the biggest idol that I might deal with in my life as a pastor, in my life as a person, just like you are this morning. How many of you like the sense of accomplishment, of seeing what you get done in your life? Sometimes it feels good, doesn't it? Sometimes you get something done and you just stand there and you just look at it for a while and think, wow, that looks good. Yeah, you do that, don't you? I do that. We like to see what we get done. But do you know that when you spend time with Jesus, we don't always see or feel that sense of accomplishment? Think about that for just a moment. You don't always see that, or the results are not always sudden or right now when you spend time with Jesus. And this is where the God of achievement can sometimes take over in your life. Think about that for a moment. We don't see the immediate benefit when we pray always, do we? Now, there might be times when you pray for something and God will answer right now. And then there's times when God might not answer it for a couple of years. And if we're so wrapped up in the God of achievement, we want results now. And so then when we spend time with God, we don't see that sense of achievement, and that begins to tug at our heart, and we begin to ask the question like this: well, should I go out and get something done, or should I spend time with God in prayer? Because I have this whole list of stuff that needs to get done today or this week, and I got to get going. Because I can see what I'm doing over here. You know, we got things to do. We're busy. But we don't always take time to spend with God, because sometimes that sense of achievement overcomes our time with God in our lives. Pastor Kyle Eidelman, who wrote the book that I've been working out of and teaching out of, and a lot of the questions derived for him and so on, he says this is what he calls our nation and the people: the tyranny of the urgent, that we need stuff done right now. We want stuff right now. It can't wait till tomorrow. It's got to happen right now in our lives. Our society's driven like that this morning. It's getting faster and faster and faster if you don't realize it. Remember before we had no cell phones? Boy, how quiet was your day. You couldn't wait to get home to your husband or your wife or your kids and have a conversation with them because you want to know about their day and what was going on. Now you're always texting, right? You're Snapchatting. You're calling. The tyranny of the urgent is the world that we live in today. And that gets so wrapped up in our faith journey with our God. Got to get things done. our motto, isn't it? Notice what Martha is doing. She's prepping for the meal. She's busy working in the kitchen. There's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing evil about that. She's not sinning. But hear this morning. What we are doing in our life might be good, but it's bad if we are doing good and there's something better to do. Did you get that? You might be doing a whole lot of good, but if there's something better that you might be or should be doing in your life, you best be doing it. And when I say there's something better, you need to be spending some time in the Word of God and with Jesus Christ in your life. That's better. You might have good intentions with that list of things that you need to accomplish throughout your day, that you need to work for a living. You have bills to pay. I get that. I've been there, and so on. But what's going on in the story is that there's something better for you. And that's time with Jesus Christ. That's time with God. That's time in the Word. That's time in prayer in your life. And Jesus commends Mary for the choice that she has made. Because Jesus says that Mary made the better choice. The better choice. Now let's talk about Martha just a little bit more. In this story, Martha demonstrates a huge characteristic of someone who struggles with the God of achievement. All right? So I'm going to ask you a few questions here in a little bit, and they're going to just hit some of us right on top of the head here this morning as I roll these questions out to you. But Martha makes a point of how much she's done compared to Mary. How many of you ever, when you were growing up at home and your brothers and sisters were living together or something like that, or maybe you're in a situation at work and you got a coworker that's just a slacker and doesn't do nothing and you're carrying their weight, and you go to your parents or you go to your boss and you say, man, I feel like I'm doing all the work here all the time. And they're just sitting around doing nothing. How many of you ever did that as children? It's a few little hands go, right? Yeah, we've done that. We rat out our children, you know, and we rat out our brothers and sisters, and we might complain to our mom and dad, why am I doing all the work all the time? Why doesn't she do something once in a while, right? Yeah. Listen to this question. There are two key things here that I want to talk to you about this morning, these questions, that show that the God of achievement is gaining in your life. Here's the first one that you might get. How many of you get frustrated with people in your life that simply are not getting it done? Some of you might not have any issue with this. That's good. Some of you might have a hard time with this because you're always measuring by the work you get done and the work they get done and so on and so on. How many of you ever keep score of those things? You don't have to raise your hand on this one. Does that bother you? You see, when you start to compare and you start to keep score like Martha did, and you're worried about what others are getting done, and you start to put yourself in a place, well, you know, I get this done, but they only get that done. If that's the case, the God of achievement might be cutting out some space on your heart. In your life. Because Martha, we see, she's getting a little frustrated with Mary. You know, Martha, or Mary, she doesn't even realize she's in a game. She doesn't have a clue that Martha's upset with her and things are going on. Can you about imagine the pots and pans are probably moving around and the bang onto the counter like that, Mary, bang, you know. She's getting frustrated and she's sitting by Jesus having a conversation. You can just picture it, can't you, in the kitchen there. You know, Martha, she's critical of Mary's work. Jesus, you tell her to get to work. She's got to get something done around here. So are you constantly critical of those around you for not getting enough done or doing it well enough? If that's you, you might be having an issue with the God of achievement on your heart. Here's a second question to think about. You have a constant sense of discontentment with yourself, not with others, for not getting done the amount of work you'd like to get done. Remember I said that checklist that you have, and maybe you set goals and you have things you want to get done in your life, and if you don't reach those things, you might not have a good day. I am guilty of that. I have a list of things that I want to get done today, and if I don't get those things done, I judge my day that way. And the Bible says that's wrong. You shouldn't judge your day that way. That's not how you judge your day. I've learned that this week. Think about that second question when it comes to achievement. Psalm 46, verse 10. I have the first part of it on the screen. The Lord says, "Be still and know that I'm God." If you're following the God of achievement and you got lists you need to get done and you're striving to work the things out in this world and you don't take time with God, how hard is it to follow that verse when God says, "Be still and know that I'm God"? That's what he tells us in our life. In your busy routine, in your busy schedule, you've got a lot of things to do, but God says, "Be still. Be still in your life." So the next time you find yourself being critical with someone else, or maybe you're being hard on yourself for the things that you haven't gotten done, may you be like Mary and choose what's better in your life. So how do we choose what's better? It's a good question, isn't it? When we're driven by the God of achievement, you know, Mary was able to choose what was better, even though she's around the influence of Martha all the time and need to get things done. And so what we simply need to do is we need to choose to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in our life. And that choice needs to be more important than anything else that you serve in the world. That's a choice that you got to make. I can't make that choice for you. Your husband or wife can't make that choice for you. You have to decide whether God is worth following or not in your life. That's the choice that you have to make. Pray to God to reveal your idols. Pray to him to change your heart. If this is an area that you know that you're not very good at, that you might be pulled away from God because of the God of achievement that comes in. You know, we read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, and I'm going to repeat that to you here, and it's on the bottom of the screen. Remember this as you go through life. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, because a lot of us like to see what we do and accomplish things in our life. And God says, don't you fix your eyes on those things. Fix your eyes on what is unseen, what's eternal, the things that you don't see in your life, the good things, the better things in this life. Relationships, time with God, time with people, quality time with maybe a son or daughter, or a mother or father, or a grandchild. Fix your eyes on what is unseen. Now, working hard and achieving goals, they're good things. I've told you that. But it's not what life is about. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make between Mary and Martha. You see the two differences in the ladies as they go about their lives. And so when we give our soul, when we give our total dedication to something in this world that we want to try to achieve, we've just built ourselves an idol in our life that comes before God. And you know that we read that this morning in the book of Exodus. At that point, we've sinned against God. We've replaced him with something that's more important in our life. Be careful that what you do in this world does not define you. A lot of us like to use worldly things to define us in our life. You know, if I was to throw some terms out there this morning, you know, you greet people, right? You shake hands, and if you don't know somebody, you might introduce yourself as la-da-da-da, I'm a farmer. La-da-da-da, I work at the lumberyard. La-da-da-da, I work at the bakery. La-da-da-da, I work for so-and-so. Notice how you connect yourself with worldly things? Why do you do that? Simply, sometimes that's where the God of achievement gets us, doesn't it? Now, I realize it might sound weird, and you walk up to somebody and you say, well, I'm Rob Horstman, child of God. Why do we always connect to something in this world? And we try to base it upon our achievement of something we're a part of or something that we've done in this world. Let me share a story with you this morning that kind of explains this just a little bit more. Now, this is a little bit of an older story here, but some of you might know who Sheila Walsh is. She's part of the 700 Club. It's a religious organization that has done a lot of good. Let me share with you a little bit about her life. Sheila Walsh was the host and singer of the 700 Club. She experienced an emotional crisis in her life in the midst of a great, great success while being a part of that show. And so one morning she's in front of the cameras, she's interviewing people, she's singing, they're worshiping, and they're having a good time on the 700 Club and the show that they're producing and so on. Well, that evening she found herself in a psychiatric hospital with a nervous breakdown all in one day. In a terrible place, in a deep, deep, dark depression in her life. And so the doctor came in and he asked her this question, Sheila, who are you? And she said, well, I'm the host of the 700 Club. And the doctor says, no, that's not what I'm asking. Who are you? And Sheila said, I'm a singer and I am a televangelist. And the doctor shook his head. He said, Sheila, who are you? And she thought for a moment, and she said, I have no idea. And the doctor said, that's why you're here. You see, she was so wrapped up in the God of achievement through doing something very good through a religious organization and preaching the word of God and so on and spreading the good news. But she was so wrapped up in the God of achievement that it totally captured her heart, that she no longer knew that she was a child of God in her life. How many Sheila Walshes do we have out there this morning? If I was to ask you the question, who are you? I've told you, achievements are good things. God has work for us to do in our life. He expects us to work. But we have a problem when they become our gods. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Here are some questions to help you define in your life if you struggle with the idol of achievement in your life. How has your life up to now been defined by the God of achievement? And that's on the outline of the bulletin here this morning. You can take that with you home and look at this. Study it throughout the week. What has achievement been like in your life? What drives you? What motivates you? Here's the next question. How do you define your identity to others in yourself? Remember when I said that? My name's Pete. I'm the baker. Why can't it be Pete, child of God? Think about that. Why do you do what you do is the third question. What motivates you to get out of bed? Why are you driven? Is it for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God? That's what we should say, but we don't always get up for that reason because we get excited about different things in this world. And then the fourth question is, when do you feel the most guilty or self-critical? When you fall short in some area, you didn't accomplish your goal or the tasks that were set before you. So my challenge to you today is, when those things happen, choose what's better. Choose Jesus Christ in your life. And all of God's people said,